listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning, church. It's so good to see all of you today, and today's going to be awesome. Hey, when you walked in, you got that worship guide. Go ahead and pull that out and grab your notes out, grab your pen. We take notes at New Chapel because we believe that God actually does want to speak to us. We want to be able to get everything that he has for us today. Guys, Pastor Tommy has been such a wonderful friend to Kai and I for so long. He's really been one of the very few people that have been in our corner through thick and thin, right and wrong. He's been standing for us. And also, in seasons where it's hard, he's lifting our hands. In seasons where we're killing it, he's encouraging us. He's been such a wonderful man of God at this house. And guys, I got to tell you, Kai and I just love him to death. He's actually staying at our house right now, which, holy moly. But everything else I'm excited for, and especially today. So New Chapel, would you please stand to your feet right now? Put your hands together for Pastor Tommy Pinkerton. Pastor Tommy, come and take your liberty.
Love you.
Well, praise the Lord. Man, give Jesus a big hand clap if you love the Lord. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning here at New Chapel. How many of you love your New Chapel family? Give Jesus a big hand clap. Yes, as Pastor Joe informed you, I've been staying with him in their new house with three children. Praise the Lord, Ange. And y'all already know how much I love children. But I do love Pastor Joe's kids. When they're sleeping, they're wonderful. Praise the Lord. Then the dog, Bocce. Do you know him? Have you ever met the dog? Yes. Well, he's a blessing. Amen. But no, it is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be able to stay there. And it is most of the time it is better to, as you know, I travel a lot, so I don't stay in a lot of people's houses. But because that's annoying, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I like to be able to do what I want to do in my hotel and do all that kind of good stuff. But it is just like being at home when I am there with Pastor Joe and Kaya. It is just like being at home, and it's a very big, huge blessing to be there. How many of you by the way, I don't have things, they're not planned really that much, amen. I'm really just stalling so I can think of a Jesse of a scripture that I can use to preach in here in a minute. I don't have notes, but you do. I hope you can write something down later. But how many of you know today is the man of God's birthday? Oh, come on and give him a big old hand clap. How old are you? You're 33, right? 33, the same age they crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But amen, after that will be a resurrection time. Now, I just want to challenge y'all. Now, y'all didn't grow up like me, probably. More than likely, you didn't. I grew up in Kentucky. That settles it all right there. So, but in the Pentecostal church, you know, they used to do something, Ed, called a Pentecostal handshake. Does anybody know what that is? Wave at me if you know what that is. I mean, I got Jesse. Do you know what it is? Anybody else know? Okay. That's where you shake a man's hand with a little something in there. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, let me help you. You put a little 20 in there and you shake a man's hand. That's a Pentecostal handshake. And when I've had a lot of Pentecostal handshakes in my day, and then you just kind of slide it in there. You don't look at it, and you just slide it right in your pocket. It burns a hole in there until you finally get in there and go look at it. Then as soon as you get away from the person, you're like, oh, praise the Lord, glory to God, amen. So it's the man of God's birthday. I just challenge you, sneak a little Pentecostal handshake in his hand before he leaves just for a little birthday action. Somebody say amen. He deserves it, amen. Well, if you've got a Bible, do you got a Bible? Lord have mercy, Jesus, right now. Well, my sermon is changing even as we speak. Amen. If you've got a phone, anybody got a phone? Anybody got Instagram? Yeah, follow me on Instagram. It'd bless you. All right. Ezekiel The book of Ezekiel. How about that? Glory to God. The book of Ezekiel. If you find Jeremiah, turn right. Amen. I'm just going to start reading as you figure it out. Ezekiel chapter number 47. The Bible says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side." Verse 3. "And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured out 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, the water that came up to first my ankles. Again, he measured out 1,000, and he brought me to the waters, and the waters came up to my knees. Again, he measured out 1,000, and he brought me up to the water that came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and the river that I was not able to cross, for the water was so deep, it was water which I could swim, water that could not be crossed." Somebody say amen. Now, as you know, we are coming into, today is the first day of this new series, Made for More. Look at your neighbor, give them a high five, and tell them you are made for more. Okay, here's what you need to do. Look at your neighbor and first tell them, wake up, amen, shake them a little bit, and then high five them and say, you are made for more. You are made for more. Now, I want to preach a message this morning. I've got two things working against me. Number one, I got a clock that's actually moving backwards. That's working against me. And I've also got an invisible leash on my ankle that is tied to this pulpit. Somebody say amen. I'm not able, Jesse said amen in the very back. He's like, dude, don't move away from the pulpit. So I am going to play a small game with myself that I will never get away from arm's reach from the pulpit today. And if you want to bet money that I can or cannot do it, feel free to do that. Somebody say amen. How many of you think I can do it? Raise your hand. Holy How many of you think I will not do it? Raise your hand. Oh, boy, this is wonderful, Ed. Amen. Well, if I do it, each one of you will owe me $10 after service in a Pentecostal handshake. Somebody say glory. And I'm sorry about your luck, Pastor Joe, but it's okay. Glory to God. Well, I know that each and every one of us in this place have been made for more. That God has a greater plan for your life than where you are currently sitting or standing in the spirit right now. That God did not save you so that you could remain simply the same person that you were when you got saved. How many of you know that salvation is only the beginning of a magnificent life in Christ? Salvation is the beginning. Salvation, when you come down to an altar and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. In other words, before you can be saved for real, Ed, you got to admit that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. You don't just kind of just, you don't evolve into salvation. You actually get born again. One moment you're a sinner, and the next moment you're saved. There's none of this evolving into Christianity. You don't evolve. You one day you say, hey, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that is the beginning of new life in Christ. Amen. And how many of you know that God did not save you to leave you where you were when you got saved? Because it's not a magic wand. It is not a phone booth where Clark Kent runs in his suit and his tie and his weird glasses and then comes out, ta-da, and he flies off as Superman. I wish Christianity was like that, but how many of you know there's a process? Look at your neighbor and say, you got to embrace the process. Got to embrace it. We're going to talk a lot to one another today. This is a talking message. Somebody say amen. And so I wanted to use the book of Ezekiel, or not the book, thank God, but this one chapter in Ezekiel, that there are four levels in this made for more life that we're going to walk in today. Number one, when you get saved, I like to call that ankle deep. That when you go out into water ankle deep, I like to call that salvation. Now, we went up to the Lake Michigan today, or a few days ago, and that water was so rough, it was brown. And, you know, I've been, of course, around the lakes up here many times over the years, maybe over 20 years, I've been able to come up and see the lakes. And you know, when you get up, though, ankle deep, that is any rookie, even if you don't know how to swim, you can go into any body of water ankle deep. You don't have to know how to swim. You can be even afraid of water, but anybody can walk in ankle deep. That is the beginner level, I like to call, of salvation, ankle deepers. People who are ankle deep in God, but they have not yet begun to venture out into the things that would make you a more mature Christian. Ankle deep. Look at your neighbor and ask them. This is not going to offend nobody, because in here we don't get offended, because it's the body of Christ. We don't get offended. Somebody say amen. Just ask your neighbor, are you ankle deep? Just ask them. Don't be, you know, just say, usually, amen. You don't have to, okay, I want to get off the platform. But you don't have to ask most people, Sheila, if they're ankle deep, because ankle deepers are easy to spot. Amen. They're easy to see, those that are ankle. See, the one thing, Pastor Joe, about when you're only ankle deep, the rest of your flesh is still showing. Say amen. Did you like those socks? Glory. Anyway, the rest of your flesh is still showing. See, when you're only ankle deep in Christ, the rest of your flesh is still showing. In other words, all of the stuff that was happening in your life upon salvation is probably still happening after you accepted Christ. Your flesh is still showing at ankle deep. Now, how many of you know that that the Holy Ghost didn't leave the prophet at ankle deep? The Bible says that he took him, measured out a little bit further, and said, okay, now that you are ankle deep, you can go a little deeper. Touch your neighbor and say, go a little deeper. Just tell him, go a little deeper. Amen. I sure hope to God you're sitting beside somebody you like this morning. Amen. I sure hope so. And if you don't like him, you're going to have to get a little bit deeper than ankle deep. Amen. Then you can go knee-deep. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost took the prophet Ezekiel out knee-deep. Now, knee-deep is a little bit more challenging, amen, for some folks, because I don't know if anyone here in the great state of Michigan, by the way, I'm sorry for those of you that are Michigan State fans, but it's okay. The Lord can still use you. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Joe's booing, but he has no idea why. But anyway, I don't know if you've ever been to Florida and went to Disney's Typhoon Lagoon. Has anybody ever been to Typhoon Lagoon? One person here, or a couple of folks. Now, Typhoon Lagoon is a wave pool like no other. Now, the first time that I went to Typhoon Lagoon, I'm walking around and I'm watching and I'm looking at all the people. There's hundreds of people in the pool, and I'm looking at them, and they're all facing a wall like this. Everybody, whether they're ankle deep, waist deep, knee deep, or up around their neck, they're just facing that back wall like this. They're like, it's like a cult. Like they're back there getting ready to worship that back wall. I mean, not one person is facing the shore. Everybody is looking at the back wall. And I walk looking at my kids are small, and I'm looking at myself, what are these people doing? Then all of a sudden you hear, and all of a sudden, from that back wall, it's called Typhoon Lagoon for a reason, it releases a tidal wave that's 15 feet high. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it comes from the back wall, and it destroys everybody and everything in its path. It is crushing everyone. And I'm like, this looks very fun. My kids are like, we can't wait. And my wife's like, I'm not getting in there. I can tell you that right now.
Well, I get in, and if you're only knee deep, you think that you're safe. But when you're only knee deep, that tidal wave will wreck your knees and take you out of commission. I was walking up, minding my own business, and there's an 80-some-odd-year-old man face first in the water, trying to swim face first in the water about 2 inches deep. Because the tidal wave took the man out. I was like, dude, what are you doing? And I reached down and I pick him up. I was like, my God, are you trying to drown at Disney? This is the happiest place on earth, bless God. What are you doing? And he goes, I think my son pushed me down. He wants my insurance money. I'm like, well, in that case, let me lay you back down, bro. I'll just get this thing done in here. Amen. But see, when your knee, he was only knee deep, but knee deep's all right. Knee deep is better than ankle deep. Because when you're knee deep, that is in your Christian experience where you learn the significance of prayer. See, how many of you know that if you don't bow your knee in prayer, you are never going to go anywhere else in God? Okay, hey, I got one amen and one hand wave. Amen. I thank you for the hand wave, and I thank you for the amen. I said, if you don't get a life of prayer, you will never advance in the kingdom of God. Amen. You've got to learn how to pray. I'm not talking about a 911 prayer. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. No, I'm talking about prayer as in communication with the God that is holy, that is opened up through salvation and the blood of Jesus, that you can communicate to a God that is the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who never faints nor grows weary, whose understanding is unsearchable. You can have a conversation with that God. Aren't you glad that you don't have to sit in a cage somewhere and communicate through to God through somebody else? There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. You can get down on your knees and pray to the creator of all things, seen and unseen. You ought to thank God that you can pray. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to pray just to make it today. Oh, y'all didn't even know. Some old school saints might know that song. But anyway, you got to pray and just to make it today. Amen. You got to pray. That's knee deep. You'll never, ever experience anything else in God without a prayer life. Some of y'all wonder why y'all's life's jacked up right now. Well, because you don't pray. Amen. Because you don't have a prayer life. And then, by the way, those of you that only pray when you're in trouble, that's why you're in trouble. Because the only time you pray is when you're in trouble. So the Lord knows that the only way that he can get a word boo out of you is to allow you to go through trouble, because all God is wanting is communication. And if the only communication he gets is when he's in trouble, that's like your children. Hey, the only reason that your children are acting a fool is because they don't get communication from you otherwise. And a child desires communication with his parents. And if he has to act out and turn flips to get your attention, that's what he's going to do. And the Lord allow your life to turn flips. If that's the only way you'll talk to him, somebody say, oh, my God. Amen. That's good preaching for a white boy. I ain't lying to you. Glory to God. So you got to pray. Not emergency 911 prayers. I'm talking about praying just to tell God, good morning, Holy Ghost. I woke up this morning with my mind. Amen. Stayed on Jesus. I woke up with Jesus on my lips. When I put my foot down on that floor this morning, I said, Jesus, you've been good to me. Thank you for waking me up here in Michigan. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to preach. God, you've been so, so good to me. I didn't even ask my God for nothing this morning, because I know that he knows my needs before I even pray. And if I just love on the Lord and kiss on him and hug on him and love on him a little bit, he'll give me everything I need and then some. Somebody say amen. That's prayer. Prayer. Paul said pray all the time. Amen. But we don't got time for all that, right? We ain't got time for that. 19:15, amen, going backwards. Next thing you got to do is you got to get waist high. Now, how many of you know that when you're going out into Lake Michigan, it's all right to get them ankles wet, feels all right to get them knees wet, But how many of you know when that water's about 60-some degrees, that when you go to get this area wet, you're like, whoop. It's like if you could, that's when you got to make the decision, are you committed to the lake or not? Because you're trying to say, I'm going to get out there and swim. Now, young kids, they're crazy. I got to start right here. Young kids, amen, they just walk right in, amen. They don't even care. But when you get a little bit older, see, I'm doing this because I need that $10 from each and every one of y'all later on. Amen. But when you get a little older, you walk in, you're like, okay, knees, and you marinate at the knee deep. Then you start walking in a little further, and you're like, woo, woo. That's cold down there. But you know what's the crazy thing is? Crazy thing is that's how you are in the spirit. Uh-oh. You already know I'm going to have to preach a little bit and slap somebody, and I can't get down there to where you are, so I'm going to slap you from up here. Amen? Amen. See, in a Jewish culture, what was around the waist were three things. One is obvious.
Say amen.
I said one is obvious. Amen. So let me give you the two not so obvious. One is a pouch that they carried around their waist. They had all the money in it. Ooh, hey, Angel, I want to come down there on you right now, but I can't. Glory to God. Gotta go. You, what? Ah! The devil is a liar. Do you see what he's doing? He got the money out right now, but I can't do it. Amen. He's trying to tempt me. Ain't that like the devil? Hey, look, just come. Ain't that like the devil? Stretch your hands towards him and say, devil, I rebuke you. Amen. Angie, slap hands on him right now. Not harder than that. There you go. But that's where the money's at, right there, your waist. On the other hand, is on the other side of a Jewish person, they got their weapon, a sword or a knife or whatever. And then, of course, we all know that the reproductive areas, praise the Lord, that's why you're getting so cold trying to go a little deeper. Amen. When you begin to go ankle deep to knee deep and you learn to pray and you communicate to God, you find out that there's some things that the Lord wants from you that you can only be revealed when you get waist deep in the spirit. Number one, I'm not going to belabor it very long today, but I'm going to tell you, God wants all of you. All of you. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. He wants everything about you. He wants all of you. Amen. And one of the things he wants is your finances.
Amen.
He wants all. He wants all of it. He don't see if you have a problem, amen, with giving your $10 on that $100, you've got a bigger problem than just the $10. Because if you're so focused on, oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay the tithe, the tithe is just the beginning. Tithing is what I like to call ankle deep stuff. That's ankle-deep stuff. I'm splashing around in the ankle-deep thinking I'm in a river. Amen. That's like some of the people in here. Anyway, amen. That's ankle-deep stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't want to be ankle-deep. Look at them and tell them, I don't want to be ankle-deep. You've got to get all the way in and let the Lord have 100% of your money. And if the Lord can have 100%, I promise you, you begin to enact the principles of 30, 60, 100-fold, and God will open up heaven and pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to contain. Ankle-deep, or waist-deep, amen. Look, y'all gonna be happy because I'm gonna move on to the next thing right here. And that is, you got, in order to do spiritual warfare, you got to give God everything. That's where your sword is. You got to be waist deep. You got to be waist deep to get in there and be able to then to be able to pray for things to begin to happen in your life. That's not ankle deep stuff, that's waist deep stuff. You got to begin to pray and to have spiritual warfare. Get filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Somebody say amen. That's waist deep, where you allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to pray in ways that you don't know how to pray otherwise. And also, you know what? Ankle deep or waist deep is a place where your reproductive area is. Somebody say amen. And if you have been truly made for more, that means you're going to do two things. One, you're going to add to other people. And when you really get good and deep, you'll multiply to other people. Waist deep people never subtract or divide. I can find the ankle deepers because they're still caught up with all of their flesh showing, and they still have a tendency to try to subtract and divide from others. If you are not adding to the body, you ain't waist deep. Somebody say amen. You've got to, I have to ask the question, what are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table? When you come to the table, is it all about me, or are you adding to the table? When you show up in a room, are people glad or do they run away? Do you know those folk that when you in the Migers and you pushing your little cart down in there, Meyer, and you pushing it down the aisle between the pickles and the mayonnaise, and you see Sister So-and-so, and you make the biggest U-turn with that cart, you're like, Somebody say amen. Are you the person that people want to see, or are you the person that people make the U-turn to get away from? Are you adding to or taking away? Are you adding? And see, the thing is, in my life, I have went past adding. I'm no longer an adder. Amen. I'm a multiplier. I'm a multiplier because I am beyond waist deep in this thing at this point. See, when you're waist deep, it is easy to go back to being knee deep. And if you go back to knee deep, it's easy to get back into ankle deep. See, you can go in and out of this thing. You don't have to. How many of you know that there's been times where you were deeper in God than maybe you are currently? You don't got to raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about. Or you know that right now you're deep in God, and it's a whole lot better being deep in Him than it is splashing around ankle deep thinking you're in a river. Isn't it interesting that people who have spent other times deep in God, but when they go through something, they get ankle deep, and then they're mad at everybody else that's waist deep or below? You know what I'm talking about? People who get jealous because you waist deep and going deeper. See, you'll find out that as you get deeper in God, there are less people in the deep water than there is in the shallow water. I said, don't you know that there's less people, John, in the deep end than there are in the shallow end? Because in order to be in the deep end, you've got to know how to swim. See, that when you start getting waste, see, that's also those reproductive areas. See, I know there's not going to be a lot of shouting right here, Pastor Joe, but it's all right. I don't need a shout. I'm leaning on this pulpit. Somebody say amen. See, when you waste deep in God, you'll start reproducing yourself in others. Some of y'all been saying it a long time and ain't reproduced nothing. I do need you to turn me up a little bit. I know I'm not near loud enough. Nobody's covering their head or their ears. That lets me know this ain't loud enough. Somebody say amen. I mean, come on. Oh, I heard it came up a little bit. That's a little bit better. Amen, because I still ain't got no monitor up here, Jesse. Praise the Lord. Okay, so anyway, you've been saved a long time and don't have no proof that you've been saved. Because proof of salvation is reproductivity. That freely you have received, so do what? Freely give. See, a true believer, somebody that's good and saved, at least waist deep, reproduce themselves in others. Who, and I'll just look right over here, praise the Lord, at that really nice made for more graphic right there. How many folks, since you've been saved for so long, have you actually led to Christ? I can't look at nobody in here. I can't look at nobody. How many people have you said and talked to and led them to Christ? Not brought to church, led to Christ. Okay, I knew there wasn't going to be a lot of shouting. Amen. I got 8 minutes. If a musician can come, if you can come on up, there's 8 minutes, and you will definitely help me wrap it up. Playing that Be Quiet music. Amen. How many of you appreciate the Jessies? Give them a big hand clap. If you weren't here Wednesday for the first Wednesday service, you missed probably the best set of worship that has ever happened at New Chapel in the history of its 6 years of existence. We had the best worship Wednesday night that we've ever had. Amen. Don't you be sleeping on this worship team. You best wake on up. Somebody say amen. You better get woke. Hey, glory. Better get woke. I don't even know what that means. But anyway. Glory to God. You got to be waist deep. You got to start adding and multiplying. Somebody say amen. Look at your neighbor. And get your preaching finger out. Your preaching finger. Amen. Not your driving finger. Get your preaching finger out. Did you hear what I said? Get your preaching finger out and point it at your neighbor and tell your neighbor you better start adding to this thing. Just tell them. Speak to them. You better start adding to this thing. Amen. Get your other preaching finger and point at your other neighbor. Say, well, you should multiply by now. You should be multiplying by now. You've been saved long enough now. You ought to be in multiplication stage, but you're struggling with adding. You've been saved long enough by now. You should be doing something with your life in God. You've been saved long enough by now. And then, of course, the prophet ends this whole dissertation when he got into water that was so deep. He said, it was above my head. I was in it to swim. I think about that because, when you get in that water deep enough to swim, it's the water that holds you up. You know how to tread water, don't you? Matter of fact, you don't even have to tread water. If you get in there, I love getting out in that deep end and just leaning on my back and just floating. You don't have to do nothing. The water will hold you. Wouldn't it be good to get up to a place in God where you don't really have to struggle and just float in His glory? Just get in there where there's room enough just to swim. And if you go under, it's all right. Then you come on back up. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get to a place in God and His Spirit where you could begin to just let Him and all around you. There ain't no flesh showing. Dustin, no flesh showing when you submerged in Him. It's like the writer in the book of Acts. Pastor Joe and I talked about this as we were sitting on the lake or sitting in our chair looking at the lake beat against the shore. Paul the Apostle said, it's in Him I live. It's in Him I breathe. It's in Him I have my being. There's an old gospel song that goes like this. He's on my right, He's on my left, He's on my front, He's on my back. He's all over me. And keeping me alive. I'm telling you right now, church, He's at the top of my head and the soles of my feet. He's on my right. He's on my left. He's on my front. He's on my back. He's all over me and keeping me alive. See, when that Holy Ghost is all around you, there's no room for the enemy. See, the enemy fires his fiery darts at flesh. When you ankle deep, he's got all kind of target. When you're knee deep, still got a lot of target left. See, you want that deer to get out from behind that tree, come out in the open. And if that deer, you know you got him on, you got it on him. Here we go. You know you got it on him, right? And you just waiting. Go with him. And when that deer gets out from behind that tree,
Turn out the lights. You got venison for days. Because you're waiting for a target. You're waiting for him to slip out, and then voila. Ain't that what the devil's doing? He's waiting for you to get ankle deep. If you're ankle deep, he's got you. Oh, you're going to go to heaven, but you're going to go to heaven mad. Amen. You can go to heaven mad, Jesse, but I don't plan on it. I'm going to be over my head. You can go to heaven sick. That's true. You can go to heaven broke, busted, and disgusted. But I don't want to. I want to go doing that backstroke. I know God is able. He's never let me down. He's never let me drown. Amen. How about that? Because when you're in there over your head, man, that's beginning to where vision takes place. Dreams are made manifest when you just get in the flow of the river. How many of you want to be in water deep enough to swim? Raise your hand. Stand up to your feet if you're serious about it. Stand up to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, hey. Pastor Joe's known me a long time. He knows that this guy right here liked to be in it above his head. Live a life of faith. I don't know where the next is going to be, but I just know that God has made me for more. And I just got to trust him that I've been made for more. That I was not created, neither were you, to be an ankle deeper. You weren't created to be ankle deep. You wasn't created to be knee-deep. You wasn't created to be just waist-deep, even though that's a pretty decent place to be. I ain't going to lie to you. But he's created you, Ed, just to be able to relax in his glory and have a mindset where you know you're in the river of God. And wherever the river of God goes, that's where you go, because your feet are no longer standing on your own foundation, but you are resting in the river of God and saying, God, whatever you do, don't do it without me, Lord. Whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Lord, if you go north, I'll go north with you. If you go east, I'll go east with you. If you go west, I'll go west with you. Lord, I won't stand up and I won't stand my ground any longer, but I'll say, Lord, whatever you say, I'll say yes. And you've heard me say it 100 times, and I'll say it again today. Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. And when your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Give Jesus a big hand clap of praise if you love him today. Come on and give God the glory. Give him the praise. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Glory. If you want to go deeper, give him praise. If you want to go deeper, give him a shout. If you want to go deeper, just put your hands together and say, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.